a babe in Christ. Something about a babe or a baby that's born, it has to be carried. It cannot stand itself. It hasn't developed to that stage. And thank God, underneath and round about us are the everlasting arms. The Lord carries us. We often refer to that footprints, that little poem, of course. And sometimes in life, we wonder why there's only one set of footprints. In the darkest periods of our life, and maybe that's where you're at tonight, in a dark trial of your experience, let me tell you, when you only see one set of footprints, it's then you know the Lord is carrying you. He's carrying you through your troubles. He's carrying you through those times of tears and those great turmoils. And a dear man from my own church who came to my home just last Sunday night. And this man, I couldn't begin, and I will not begin, to tell you what he told me confidentially of the trouble he is in. And I took him into our sitting room, and I opened God's word with him. And I said to him, "Brother, the Lord will carry you. And the Lord will carry your dear wife. Because underneath and round about are the everlasting arms." And he got up from his seat and he took my hand. He said, "Thank you, brother. I needed to hear that tonight." And maybe that's what you need to hear tonight. That underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. The Lord carries us. And then, of course, you need companionship. One whose presence is always there. And the Lord said this, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always." Parents are always there for their little ones. By their side, as the baby's constant companion, the mother or father is there. That's how it ought to be, anyway. Carried companionship. And also, of course, not only one whose presence is always with us, but also provision. The parent is there to provide for the child. For it's every need. And so the Lord has promised to supply our every need. My God shall supply your need. All your need. According to His riches and glory. By Christ Jesus. All your need. Not some of it, but all of it. His provision. And furthermore, there's His protection, because the parent, as the constant companion of the child, protects the child from all harm and danger. So the Lord protects us. He watches over us. Companionship. Being carried. But then there's the thought also of compassion. The parent shows compassion to the child. When it cries, there's the comforting arms of the parent because they love their children. And they take them up in their arms and they draw them close. And so the Lord loves us. His compassions, they fail not. It's a wonderful word in Scripture. As the nurse cradleth the child, so the Lord cradleth us, newborn babes. This is what we are when we come to Christ. We are accepted in Him. We have trusted Him as our own and personal Savior. It is the first stage of new life in Christ. It is a wonderful thing. Having been born into God's family, and yet having been born, dear friends, tonight there is a responsibility incumbent on us to grow. Not to remain as a baby. To grow up in Him. To go on with God. To become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The baby that doesn't grow, there's something radically wrong. And there's something terribly wrong with the Christian who does not grow up to maturity in the Christian life. Paul spoke of the church at Corinth as yet being babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they had never grown. They were still in spiritual infancy, never developed, never having gone on with God. Maybe this is you tonight. You've never grown. You were born again a long time ago, but you've never gone on with God. The Bible exhorts us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The definition, newborn babes. The second thing is this, the desire. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. It means in the original Greek, earnestly desire. The person truly born again into God's family will have an earnest desire for that which is spiritual. His affections will not be on things on earth, but rather on things that are above. And Paul addressed this very matter in Colossians chapter 3. He said this, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. In other words, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. What about your desire tonight? Is it for that which is spiritual rather than for that which is carnal? Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and remember this, that there was much immaturity in the church at Corinth. And he said this in 2 Corinthians 4:18, why we look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And how we need to be looking at the things that are not seen. The things that are spiritual, the things that are eternal. The hymn writer penned those words, lift us, Lord, O lift us higher, from the carnal mind set free. Fill us with refining fire, give us perfect liberty. Lift it unto a higher plane. Lift it onto that spiritual plane with God. And that's where we need to be, men and women, tonight. Away from the world to looking upon that which is eternal. The Bible speaks, of course, of the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The fleshly desires that are so prominent. But how we need the flesh to be crucified. To die daily to the flesh. To say with the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We need to desire Christ. Do you desire Christ tonight? Fellowship with Him? This is what Paul expressed in Philippians 3 and 10. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And day after day, this was the experience of the apostle. He was in communion with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said this, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said that all things, He that is the Lord Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. You remember the disciples? They walked on that road to Emmaus, the two of them there. In Luke chapter 24, they communed with Christ. They constrained Christ to remain in their company. And then the Bible tells us in Luke 24:31, their eyes were opened and they knew Him. They saw the Lord. And the Bible tells us in verse 32 that their heart burned within them. What an experience they had of Christ. He walked with them. He talked with them. He spoke to them of the things concerning Himself. And theirs was truly an earnest desire that Christ might remain with them. What about your desire tonight? What about mine? Our prayer is that we might have that earnest desire after Him, the altogether lovely one, the fairest of 10,000 of our souls. You know, we're so conscious today of the material desires, the wealth of this world. And many of these desires today, and many of the Lord's people are building up their empires on this earth, the treasures of this world. And they think nothing now of the prayer meeting and nothing now even of the Sunday services just now and again because they are building material empires. Even as a church, we can so easily become like the church at Laodicea and say, well, the money's all right. That's all we need. But it's not. The church at Laodicea said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But they were poor and wretched and miserable, blind. So the Lord said to them. And you know, materialism can take over the church as much as it can take over the lives of individuals among God's people. And the Word of God says this to us tonight. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your heart is on material things, then it will not be on the things of God, the material desires. But of course, the Bible speaks about the spiritual desires. If we're walking in the Spirit, if we're led by the Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit, then we will earnestly desire that which is spiritual. And you take some time tonight to look at the church in the Acts of the Apostles and discover there how they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and breaking of bread and of prayers, Acts 2:42. They continued in the Scriptures. They continued in the Word. They continued among the saints, the fellowship of God's people. They continued at the sacrament, the breaking of bread, and it was at the Lord's table. They continued at supplication and prayers. The place of prayer. And you cannot read the book of the Acts of the Apostles without being stirred about prayer. The prayer meetings that were held in those times in the Acts of the Apostles and the power of God that was demonstrated as a result of the prayers of God's people. Oh yes, they continued in the Scriptures and among the saints, and they continued at the sacrament, and they continued in supplication, and they continued in service. They served the Lord continually. My friend, may God help us to continue as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the Word. We may grow thereby. There must be this desire. But then I want you to look thirdly with me about the diet. Because it speaks here as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Diet. That's a touchy subject, isn't it? Diet. And of course, people don't like you talking about that. About diet. But I'm going to speak about a biblical diet tonight. The inner person has an appetite that must be satisfied. If it isn't satisfied by truth and reality, then it will feed upon lies and illusion. But it must be fed. And most people in this world today are trying to survive on a diet that neither imparts life nor sustains life. It can't bring lasting satisfaction. The lost know that through faith in the Lord, don't know that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will have spiritual bread and spiritual life. They don't know that the living water satisfies them permanently. But it's our job to tell them of that. To tell them of the bread of life. To tell them of the living water. And some of God's people too are living on a nutritional level that's not much higher than that of the worldling. Like the prodigal son, some of God's children are eking out an existence on husks when they could be feasting in the Father's house. But unlike the prodigal, they don't realize how starved they were. At least the prodigal realized he was starving. Are you starving tonight? When the Jewish people were hungry, you remember there in the book of Exodus, on the wilderness journey, 6 days a week, God dropped manna into the camp to feed them. The very bread of the God of heaven was given to them. And the people only had to step outside their tents and stoop and gather as much manna as they needed to eat it. And the manna sustained them during their journey. Then if you turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, the manna pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. The similarities are clear. Both came from heaven. Both were graciously given by God. Both were given to meet man's great need. Both had to be received personally. And to reject God's gift meant death. However, in the sermon, Christ pointed out two important contrasts. The Old Testament manna only sustained human life, whereas the Lord Jesus Christ imparted divine life. That's the clear difference. The manna was given to the Jewish nation only, but the Father sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give life to the world. And that includes you and me tonight. Jesus Christ is the spiritual nourishment for every Bible believer. The nourishment that we gain through the Word. Are you being nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine? Are you being nourished up in Christ? That's what the church needs today. The Bible says, of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. And so we may meditate on Scripture and take in the truths of the Word into our hearts. We're feeding on Christ, the bread of life. Are you feeding on Christ tonight? God's Word is milk. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. But it's also solid food. It's like honey. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119, verse 103. What a menu God has given to us in His Word. Perhaps these four images of God's Word suggest stages in our spiritual growth. As newborn Christians, we receive and swallow the milk given to us by others. Food they have pre-digested and prepared. It doesn't take much effort on our part to be nursed. But who wants to remain at that stage? As we grow older, we learn to appreciate and appropriate the bread. We can never feed ourselves upon that bread. With further growth, we learn to chew on the solid food or the meat of the Word. Pediatricians warn that honey isn't good for babies. I don't know. I've just read it, but so they tell me. It doesn't take long for children to discover that sweet things are available in the cupboard. You parents and grandparents know all about that, I'm sure. However, we aren't really ready for the sweetness until we can take the bitterness with it. You see, the balanced diet has to be there. The balanced diet has to be there. It was said that whenever he felt ill, one of the emperors of Ethiopia, he would rip up a page of the Bible and he would chew it. And he would swallow it. Apparently, this great ruler felt that if eating the Word of God was good enough for Ezekiel and John, it was good enough for him. But even if he did get well, the emperor was making two mistakes. We don't eat God's Word literally, chewing it up page by page. We don't use the Bible only in emergencies to make us feel good in a situation of life. The Word of God, brethren and sisters, is to be our daily nourishment. Our daily nourishment. No matter how we feel, we are to use the Word as our daily nourishment. Job chapter 23, verse 12. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Jeremiah 15 and 16, thy words were found and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Eating the word in the spiritual sense. Partaking of the nourishment of God's word. Is that what you're doing, Christian? Have you got an appetite for the word tonight? A lot of God's people have no appetite for the Word today. need to have an appetite for the Word of God. You remember Jairus' daughter, when the Lord raised her to life, He commanded them to give her something to eat. The first thing she did was get something to eat. My friend, when Lazarus was raised by the Lord from the dead, he sat at the table with Jesus and enjoyed a banquet in John 12, verse 2. And this is one of the things the Free Church has taught me over the years, to desire the sincere milk of the Word. A lot of churches today, and you don't get that, friend. Don't get the Word. You don't get it. And people are living on a diet that is not the Word, and they're spiritually anemic because they're not getting the Word. And I exhort you to get into the Word and become those that develop in the Word. Then I want you to see, finally, just and quickly, the development, because it speaks here, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. There has to be development from infancy to childhood to teenage years to adulthood. The right food, the proper nourishment will bring about development. The right intake, sincere milk, strong meat, etc., in the right order, not too much or too little. The right instruction, receive with meekness the engrafted Word. The Bible is full of instruction, which if we will receive, we will grow, we will develop in the Lord. The right involvement. The infant is involved with its parents, with its brothers and sisters, with children of the same age. They play together, they bond together. They develop together, so we grow up in the fellowship of the saints of God. We grow up in the fellowship of the local church. We develop our Christian life in the prayer meeting, through the prayer meeting, through the Sunday services, through the fellowship of God's people. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Some people say, I can have church at home. Well, you could have church at home. And some people have to have that because they're persecuted. Some people have to have that because they're unable to come because of age or infirmity. But if you're able to come, my friend, the Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. The right impact will be made. Our growth will be strong. We will grow up into Christ. Grow up in Him. We will become strong in the Lord. We will become nourished and built up in Him. We will become fruitful, as John 15 teaches us. Abiding in Christ. And as we abide in the vine, then we will bear forth fruit. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. John 15, verse 16. Grow up. How many times did you hear a parent tell you that when you were young? Grow up. Grow up. And you know, we need to hear that again from the Lord tonight. Grow up. This is what essentially Peter is saying here. Grow up as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. I trust the Lord will indelibly write upon our hearts His holy truth.